Good morning. This morning I want to ask you to think with me for a few minutes, once again, about the gospel that we preach, the good news that God has for us. It's been the subject for several Sunday mornings, not last Sunday, but a few before, just what is the message that we preach. So this morning I'm going to be quite limited in what I'm going to ask you to think about. I'm going to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ as a proclamation, the incredible news, the incredible announcement from God about His Son and about us. Now, God speaks to us in many ways, and this morning I just simply want to concentrate on what the Bible speaks to us when it tells us about our need. I'm not going to go into creation and all the wonders that God has done. I just want to talk about this incredible, incredible message that the Bible has for us, the good news that's called the gospel about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. We'll look at that together. There's the apostle saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God. Imagine that. The news about Jesus is the power of God. When God created the universe, He just spoke and there it was. But this good news meant He sent His Son into this world with a message for us. And it's about salvation to everyone who believes, answering the deepest need of our human hearts. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. By the way, don't be misled about the power of this message. We live in North America, I expect this morning in Quebec, there aren't 3% of the population, well, maybe 5%, in church thinking about God and Jesus Christ. Don't be misled by sometimes apparent lack of interest where we live. Do you know that in other parts of the world this morning, believers by the millions, by the hundreds of millions, are this Sunday celebrating Jesus Christ? And in China, in South America, in South Korea, and in Africa, people are responding and believing and acting on the message of the gospel about Jesus Christ in the, ready for it, millions every year. This is a powerful, powerful message, and I want to talk about it to you for just a few minutes this morning. With four simple points. Not original with me, they're not new, and they're very familiar to some folk that are here. Let me just show you them. The first point is God. That's where the good news starts. The second point is us. I put you and me there in case you might have thought that was the United States of America, but it's not. It's us. The third point I'll talk about a little bit is about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And then we have to stop at the end and think about individual response to the message that comes from God and comes about the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone will have a response this morning. You can't avoid it. If you're here and you're going to listen, you're going to have one of two responses. It's going to be either, yes, I believe it, or no, I don't believe it. All right? Now, some people might condition their no by saying, well, I have more questions, perhaps, maybe. I don't know how I can be sure. But in the eyes of God, there's only two answers to the good news about Jesus Christ. It's yes, I believe it, or no, I don't. All right? And that's what I want to try and stress a little bit with you this morning. We begin with God, all right, where everything starts. Now, good scientists, all scientists, I guess, may their tribe increase, can tell us much about this physical world, all right, and they certainly do. They can tell us so many things. They can tell us about what it's made of, even when it was made, how it has developed, certainly. We can even tell us where our place is in this incredible universe, where we're located in this incredible universe in which we live. But the two things scientists don't even pretend they can tell us is who made it and why. Because the scientific answer from where did the world come from is quite simple. It's we don't know. All right? And a good scientist will quite freely be ready to confess that. So if we're going to know who made it and why, then God's going to have to tell us. He's going to have to reveal it to us, and we believe that in the Bible we have the answers to those kind of questions, that in the beginning, you remember the very first words of the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning of what? You have an answer to that? In the beginning of what? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, in the beginning of everything. Think of that. Not just matter and energy, not just stuff and light and heat, but time and space itself. We can think of no matter, no energy. Even you can maybe think about time stopping, but try thinking about no space. It just doesn't compute, does it? Can't really get your head around that, around the idea of nothing, and yet that's what the Bible says, that the beginning of everything starts with God. Matter, energy, time, space, and you and me begins with God. So this is the message this morning from the Word of God, and I want to just say that God waits for every person for a yes or a no to Him. So the only way we know about this, who made it and why, is for God to reveal it to us, and we believe He was revealed to that in the Holy Scriptures. Now, that means that contrary to much popular opinion today, if the Scriptures are right, and there are billions, yes, billions of people on the earth now who would answer yes to that question and be ready to defend it at great cost to themselves, that God has told us in the Bible that we are God's creatures. As opposed to a cosmic accident, blind chance, no mind behind the universe, it's hard to find, and I don't think you can find, a primitive people on the earth that believe that. You really have to go to people who worked very hard to come to the conclusion that everything just happened by chance. So the Bible tells us we are God's creatures. It's not just an accident. It's not just blind chance. There is a mind behind the universe. It's the mind of God. He made us, and everything that is made belongs to Him and was made for His pleasure, including us. That's the clear teaching of the Word of God. Now, the next point after that is that, therefore, we are responsible to Him. That's a big thought for a lot of people. We're used to bombing through life pretty well independently, aren't we? Make a lot of decisions every day, and we have to. We have to make sure we make good decisions every day. But here's the Scripture telling us that we are responsible to God. Now, that's hard for some people to swallow, that I am not an autonomous being, okay? I do not exist autonomously. I am dependent on God. However much I may try to live independently, I am a creature created by God. And that's what the Bible tells us, that we are God's creatures. Not only is he our creator, but we are responsible to Him. You know what? I was thinking about this morning before I came up. That idea infuses our literature, if you've studied any of that in school. Do you remember such a well-known thing as Hamlet? He decided he'd take arms against the sea of troubles, and by opposing, end them. To sleep? To die? To sleep? Perchance to dream. There's the rub, he said. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil must give us pause. All right? The understanding here that we can talk about dying, but there's a responsibility to God, and it doesn't go away. And you have to find strange people, not strange. You have to find well-educated people who've turned their back on that kind of idea. The whole world, the people all over the world, seem to know and understand intuitively that there's something more than this life, that we come from somewhere, and we are going somewhere. And the Scriptures are telling us that God is our Creator, and we are responsible to Him. Now, a couple of Scriptures. There's a quote in the New Testament that's also in the Old Testament. As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow before me, and every tongue will confess to God. That's the clear message of the Bible, that we're responsible to our Creator. And look at that stunning verse from Hebrews. In the Word of God, man is destined to die once. Nobody argues with that. And after that, to face judgment. Lots of people argue with that. That we die like a dog. And the clear, clear, insistent message of the Scripture, which we ignore at our peril, is that we are responsible to God, will stand before him one day, and we will give an account. Now, the word gospel means good news. Sound like good news so far? Sounds like pretty serious news, doesn't it? We must all give an account of ourselves to God. The second of my 4 points up there was us, you and me. You and me. Now, despite the beauty and the bounty and the orderliness of the world, save when we kind of mess it up, much evil abounds in our world. You know that. Don't have to do much but read the newspaper and turn on the radio to understand that. And there is no explanation for that fact that suits, like the one the Bible gives. We may claim we haven't outgrown that. We're still developing. You know, if there weren't poverty, if there was no poverty in the world, everything would be wonderful. We know in our hearts that isn't true. I don't know what explanation you have, but the Bible says that the problems and evil in the world spring from your heart and mine. And that's because naturally, as we come into this world, we don't have a foundation to build our lives on. We don't have an anchor. That's something that's absolutely sure and dependable, that no matter what, we can depend on that. And as a result, we try to live autonomously from God. And an awful lot of people in this world are doing exactly that, trying to live autonomously as though God wasn't there. But he is. As a great man said, if the whole world went atheist overnight, wouldn't affect God one bit. He's there. He'll still be there. He won't go away. He won't be affected by it. He is God to whom we must give an account. Okay? And the Bible tells us that that is the natural state of people without the good news of the gospel, without the message that God loves us and sent Christ into the world. It is natural to live that way. And that we have to give an account of ourselves to God. It's just quite that simple, okay? One day we will have to give an account of ourselves to God. He is there and he is not going to go away. We like to keep sin, you know, evil, real evil against God for the really bad guys. And like to think that ours are just mere peccadillos, you know, just little stuff, not terribly serious at all, but God's telling us very plainly that all have strayed from his rule, and one day we'll have to give an account to God. We have to meet him. We have to face the responsibility for everything we've done, and we have to face it for all eternity. Here's God's view of the world as he looks at us. We know it's a tremendous love of God in his heart for his creation, but here it's what God sees. Is that too strong? Pretty tough, eh? There is no one righteous. Now, remember what God's standard of righteousness is, eh? It isn't, well, just forget all about the little stuff. I'm pretty good on the big stuff. His standard is his standard. Not even one. There's no one who really understands what God wants. Speaking naturally now, without a revelation from God, we've all turned away. We all do what we want. Hands up those here who only do what God wants 24 hours a day. That's what that scripture is saying. In one way, to one degree or another, we all turn away from God. And we're locked up. The scripture has concluded. The whole world is a prisoner of sin. You know something? The gospel means good news, but that's what I'm trying to do this morning. But the bad news comes first, and it starts to get worse. Because the Bible says we can't solve the problem ourselves. The problem of, you might want to call it mistakes and error and foolish actions. The Bible calls it sin. We can't solve that problem ourselves to the satisfaction of God. That's what the Bible is telling us. Sad, eh? There's a verse in the Bible that says, the scripture hath concluded all under sin. Be a brave person that would stand up and say, not me. I've never done anything wrong. This is a story of a man who, some strange church somewhere, stood on a platform and said, I have not committed a sin in 15 years. Two deaf men were sitting in the front. One said to the other in a deaf man's whisper, ask his wife. We know that we stand before God and we're not perfect. And God is. But the great good news, having given you the bad news, is there's wonderful news, that God has done everything. Everything. Everything necessary for us to be reconciled to God, to know God, to know Him personally, and to have our burden of sin, our true guilt. You know the one, the sins you're guilty of that nobody else knows of? I know mine, and I expect you know yours. Well, God knows them. And to have all of those lifted and forgiven by God, and our true guilt before Him, every human being, our true guilt before Him lifted and done away forever. The third point in my little outline, if I'm there yet, is the really good news. So far, the good news has been kind of bad news, hasn't it? The Bible's pretty straight up, okay? It doesn't beat around the bush. Just says we've all sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God, and we all need to be redeemed. We all need to be brought back to God. Now, my first one is just a little summary of the next couple of slides. God loves us in spite of our sin, and He sent His Son Jesus into the world to save us from our sins. And there's some verses from the Scripture. The Father, God, the Creator of heaven and earth, has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. There's the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Plain, blunt, clear. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Here's from the Old Testament. Okay? Talking about in prophecy, Jesus. Pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Punishment that brings us peace is on Him. We're healed by His wounds. And here, we all like sheep have gone astray, which we saw before. We've all turned away, and the Lord has laid, God has laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. That's the heart of the gospel. That when we couldn't pay for our sins before God, He came and solved the problem Himself by laying them on His own dear Son. That's the really great news. That's the gospel. That's the good news. What Christ has done for us, and what He's done for us, is what we couldn't do for ourselves, which is pay to a holy God what we owe for all the foolish, wrong, and sinful things that we have done. You know, somebody might say, well, look, if God is all powerful, the creator of everything, sustainer of the universe, why would He inflict our sins on Jesus? Why did Jesus, Son of God, have to come to this earth, die on the cross, and then God have Him bear our righteous judgment so that we could be free? Couldn't He just, forgive us? He's God, after all. You know, in the Scriptures, very, very, very plain to us that God's not only the creator of this world and the sustainer of the universe, He's the judge of all the earth. He's what makes justice and truth exist and continue. Okay? Abraham talked to God. We're told this a long time, way back in the early chapters of Genesis. God told Abraham He was going to do something. It was punishment for some other people. And Abraham asked Him a question. I think I wrote it down. No, I guess I didn't. Let's wait. Abraham said to God, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Okay, God is going to do exactly right in every sense with everything that He does. So what about our shortcomings, our sin, and our fall that we are truly, truly guilty of? Why did God have to inflict our sins on Jesus? Why did Jesus bear away our sins, which is the Bible tells us? Well, let me tell you what the Bible tells us, okay? God can no more wink at the evil that I have done and you have done than a surgeon can wink at the cancer that is in his patient. It must be removed. No judge on the bench could wink at the crimes of a Clifford Irving, or a Bernie Madoff, or the biker gang, when they have been found guilty. God can't wink at sin in His universe. He is the righteous judge of all the earth, and He can't wink at wrongdoing, deliberate wrongdoing, in you and me. But the wonderful story that's right here is that in Christ, God's justice and His mercy meet, and the Lord Jesus has borne our sins on the cross, and God's love and His justice have met. And it's Christ who opens the door to heaven for us by bearing away our sins. So John, the disciple, can write the good news this way. Most familiar verse in the Bible. God loved the world so much, you, me, that he gave his only son. And to believe on him is to be forgiven of all our sins, to not perish, and to have everlasting life. Listen to these wonderful words from Jesus himself. I tell you the truth. He always did, but he's emphasizing. You got to believe this. Whoever hears my word about your need and my word about who I am and what I'm going to do, and believes God who sent me, believes what God has told us, that the Savior has borne away our sin, that person who accepts that has eternal life and will never meet condemnation and judgment from God. And look at that amazing, amazing last verse. Sitting here right now as a believer in Jesus who's accepted his forgiveness for you on the basis of your trust in him, right now, not someday later, now, that person goes from being dead in sin to being alive in God with all the promises of eternity ahead. Now, the Bible makes it plain that you get that gift from God in one way only. It's a gift from God. Can't be earned. Can't be bought by good works. And can't be deserved or merited by anyone. Not the Pope. Not Billy Graham. Not Mother Teresa. Nobody. It can only be received as a free gift from God on the basis of believing what says and trusting Jesus Christ. You know, that's fair. Puts everybody on the same basis. Puts the educated Canadian who's been able to read the Bible all his life on exactly the same basis as some person in Africa who's only just learned to read and is handed a New Testament and is told about the Lord Jesus Christ. No favoritism. No breaks for some special people. All in the same boat. All only received and forgiven by God by faith in the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us. Here's the really good news. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He, God, saved us, not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy. What a message. You know, that's why in Jesus' day, it was the people who knew they were in deep trouble that flocked to him. The self-righteous nailed him to a cross. And much like it today. People who feel their need, who turned to the Lord Jesus. And he did it because of his mercy. And then the Apostle Paul, saved by grace through faith. No works, no effort. Trusting Christ. This is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man would boast. What kind of response does God require from you and me and from anybody else who hears the gospel? Who hears that we are on our own way, following our own path, doing what we think is right, and in the process ignoring and the wrong things we do are really in their basis against God. Well, they're against our fellow man, yeah, but they are really against the God who is the God of judge, God who is the judge of all the earth. Well, doesn't matter who you are, Billy Graham or Mother Teresa, you receive the free gift of eternal life from God is a free gift from the hand of God based on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who has died for our sins. That's only fair. Puts everybody on the same basis before God. No favoritism, no breaks for some people, no easy way for all in exactly the same boat. Must come to the Lord Jesus in faith and believe that when he died on the cross, he died for us. And that's what I hope. Okay? I'm back to the words of the Lord Jesus. All right? I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes on him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned, but has crossed over from death into life. Now I want to just say in plain, ordinary English, the kind of thing that every person has to do before God to receive that free gift from Jesus Christ. All right? The kind of attitude that God Almighty is looking for from people in this world who hear the message of our rebellion against God, our sin that I talked about earlier, and what he's done in Christ and calls them to return to God. This one I'm going to tell you is not a formula. It's not written down in the Bible anywhere. Just my trying to express the kind of thing that I believe God is looking for from every human being who hears the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, that he has died for our sins. It's to bow the heart before God Almighty, believing that he's there, and say something like this: God, I know I stand before you not as an innocent human being, but as a guilty one. I realize now that when your son Jesus died on the cross, he paid the debt of my sin that I should have to pay myself. He bore the punishment I deserve for the things that I've done wrong before you. And then, the thing that locks it, I choose right now. Can you see yourself like this? I choose right now to trust and accept Jesus as my Savior. And I will serve him. And I will learn from him. And I will follow him all the days of my life. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned, but has crossed over from death unto life. So a decision to believe in Christ and follow him and serve him and spend eternity with him, the Bible tells us, is only a beginning. To make that decision, okay? To make that decision is the beginning of something. It's the beginning of a life with Christ as its leader, instead of following one's own selfishness and whim. It's a life with God at the center, instead of a life that's hollow in the middle, because there's no permanent meaning to the core of one's being. Nothing that will last. It's a promise of a life that has heaven as its destination, instead of an eternity without God, which the Bible tells us is judgment and loss and darkness, as opposed to light and life and rejoicing. And it means in this life, real purpose and meaning, to know the meaning of life and why we're here and where we are going, we can find only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I finish, let me remind you that to say no to all that, and I've done my best to put it, and probably not very felicitously, but do remember that a no answer to all that, to making a decision to trust Christ, is a no answer to God. And that's not to me. It's not the Rosemount Bible Church. It's to God. However, questions, doubts, concerns, confusion, maybe even a measure of disbelief, may be part of the start of the process if those questions are answered and are faced directly. All right? And if they are, then the message of the Scripture is real and will become real in the life, I believe, of a person who will truly and humbly come to God and understand the message that's in the Word. Remember that a no is no to God. It's not no to Jim. It's not no to Rosemount Bible Church. It's no to God. But questions, concerns, seeking answers, that's right and proper. God touched your heart. That's what you should do before this day is out. Doubts and confusions, if fairly faced in the light of the Scriptures, can become the start of a yes. So can I say that if you've got doubts or confusions about anything that I've said this morning, honest concerns, please come and talk to me or talk to somebody. Speak to someone you have confidence in. Something good may start to happen. And listen, if we believe that message, all right, if we've accepted that message, and if the Lord Jesus is our Savior, let's live as believers, all right? Let's pretty well, not perfectly, but pretty well, we know what pleases God as if we're followers of Jesus, and we know when we're off the track. Let's resolve to follow him and follow him closely, who has won us, who's come here to save us, and now he lives to lead us to one day into his presence. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you very much for your word this morning. We thank you for the Bible, for these verses we've read, for the truth they bring to us. We pray you to help us to understand them, to grapple with them, to think about them. And our Father, pray for anyone here who hasn't yet come to the Lord Jesus and prayed a simple prayer to him and accepted him as Savior and Lord of life and the one who will lead them on to eternity in the future with God. So we We pray for your blessing on each person that's here, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.